Every time I hear this gospel, I think back to one Mr. Alex Kastens. Carroll College great and an assistant football coach. He was a great offensive lineman, but then he was our O-line coach, then he was our D-line coach, and not just like a stereotypical football coach, right? You know, you think like big guy, his vocal cords fraying from yelling all the time, right? He was like the platonic form of football coach, right? So just great, shaved head, right? Oh, just, I love Alex. He's over in UMary, right? Coaching out there. So anyway, this gospel reading was one of the readings that we had at a football mass right before the game. And so saying goodbye to the fellas after mass, right? You know, lots of bro hugs and guys getting ready. They're amped up, ready for battle, right? And here's Kastens at the end, and he's just like pacing back and forth, right? And I'm like, coach, have a good game, right? And he comes up, he gives me a big hug, and then he like won't let me go, and he holds me by the shoulders, and he's like, I love angry Jesus. Father, I love angry Jesus. And I'm like, nice. I love him too, right? What a great line. I love angry Jesus. I wonder, do you love angry Jesus? Do we? Because we should. And at the very least, if we don't love him, we're gonna have to contend with him, okay? Because this is the gospel. Jesus gets angry. This is not the domesticated Jesus that has been pumped out there. I made up a word when I was thinking about this homily. We like to nicify Jesus. Just make him nice. He's super, super nice, right? Now, there's a reason we want to do that. Because nice Jesus has to accept me as I am without ever asking me to do a dang thing different. Nice Jesus just is nice to me. But that's not the real Jesus. Because the real Jesus wants to change us. He wants to change us. And that's the gospel for tonight. Now, here's the common reading of this gospel. It's a super well-known passage, right? The cleansing of the temple, right? Probably the most common interpretation is that this is what Jesus does to those who have kind of been corrupted in organized religion, right? He's got to fix organized religion. And that's fine. That's certainly a reading, right? But here's what that kind of looks like then is you all in the pews can say, like, wow, look at those loser priests, right? Those hypocrites, right? Go get them, Jesus. Call them out, right? And then us priests, we can do that to bishops. Look at those loser bishops. Man, Jesus, go get them. Call them out. Go get them, right? And then the bishops, they can do that to the people over in the Vatican. Yeah, look at those losers over in the Vatican. Go get them, Jesus. Call them out. And we love that, right? It's fun to see Jesus get after somebody, especially when it's not us. Go get him, Jesus. Get them. Call him out. Then everything will be better. Except, friends, that's not what this gospel is really about. Because Jesus cleansing the temple isn't just about those people doing organized religion or whatever else. It's about us. Because St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, do you not know that you are the temple of God? Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Well, if Jesus did that we just heard in the gospel to the temple, but we're the temple, oh dear. Maybe Jesus won't be so nice when he sees what's going on in me, right? Now, here's the deal. A few years back, we had a priest come to speak to us as the Diocese of Helena, all the priests got together. And someone asked him, an older priest, a baby boomer priest, he asked the question, he said, how do you make Christianity appealing to young people? I loved this priest's answer. He said, well, Don't present it as a harmless spirituality. Don't present it as a harmless spirituality. I was like, yes, thank you. I have never once presented Christianity as a harmless spirituality. It makes great demands. You know why? Because Jesus makes great demands. Because he actually wants our happiness, and that means he must be demanding, like a good coach, or like a good parent, or like a good God. See, Jesus loves us, sinners though we are. Jesus loves sinners radically and really, and that means he hates sin. Yes, God hates. He hates sin, and he hates its consequence, death. He hates sin. And it's precisely his love for sinners that brings about his hatred for sin. Think of it like an oncologist who wants to get every bit of cancer out of a patient, who hates the disease because he loves the person who's afflicted with the disease. The oncologist wants to get every bit of that cancer out, to eradicate it, to destroy it, to annihilate it, so that the person can be set free. They can be healed. They can live. And that's what Jesus is doing in the gospel. See, he's not about a harmless spirituality. He wants to eradicate every sin in me and in you, every bit. That's not harmless. That means like presenting your heart and saying, Jesus, do some soul surgery here. I'm in your hands. You're the divine physician. I'm in your hands. Well, that type of surgery that goes deep into us is not harmless. It's not easy. And sometimes it's not pleasant. But it's what's needed. See, Jesus' anger, it flows directly from his love for us. Directly. Not like, oh, he had a bad day going into the temple. Someone set him off. No, he knows exactly how we are. The gospel, it's a great line. Nobody needed to explain anything about human nature to him because he knew it well. He knew it well. He knows us. He knows our frailty. And he knows the disease that is sin better than we do. And so he goes right after it. And that is a desire on his part. His followers look at him cleansing the temple and they're reminded of a scripture. Zeal for your house will consume me. Well, zeal is not just for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Zeal for his house, the house he cares about, is our hearts. And he's zealous for us. He's zealous for souls. And that love sometimes looks like anger. Now, don't get me wrong. Is Jesus compassionate? Yes. The most compassionate heart that ever existed, ever will exist. His heart from all eternity, full of compassion. But friends, don't think that the compassion of Jesus niceifies him, domesticates him. The compassion of Jesus is very much connected to his passion for each and every one of us, that he loves us. And he loves us so much that he wants to set things right. Not just to paper things over, not to make things look nice, but to heal us and to save us. And salvation is tough work. The salvation of a soul is tough work. It costs. It costs Jesus his very life. And it's going to cost you and me if we say yes to the gift that he offers. Now, we should actually want angry Jesus to come into our lives. We should be like, yeah, Jesus, come, but come angry. Come into my life, but come hard. Come with some intensity. Come with some power. Because, why? Because we need him. And we need him that way. We need a Jesus who is zealous for our souls. Who loves us enough to flip some tables over, to make a whip and drive certain things out? Certainly our sins, right? We need that. Why do we need it so much? Well, let me just pose a basic question. Are any of us really happy in our sinfulness? Like really, truly? Anyone here? Of course not. Our sins make us miserable, and Jesus knows that. But then the issue is this. Well, why don't we just stop? Just stop sinning. Just stop doing it. That thing you do that you're so embarrassed by, that thing you slide into over and over again, that thing you regret so very much, just stop. And anyone who is honest for a second in the spiritual life is like, I can't. And that right there is the problem. See, we actually need a Savior. We need a Savior. Jesus is the one who saves us. And so we need him. Maybe this. Just if you will, if you want, close your eyes for a moment and listen to this. And the reflection is just simply this. What needs to be cast out of your heart tonight? What needs to be cast out of the temple of your heart tonight? Is it selfishness? A propensity toward gossip? Envy of others? Resentment over things that haven't gone your way? Some things you do on the weekend? Maybe abusing alcohol or drugs? Objectifying other people? Misusing the gift of your sexuality? Greediness? Self-centeredness? Hard-heartedness toward those in need? An obsession for control of your life? Indifference? Being okay with mediocrity in the spiritual life? Now, the list could go on and on, right? I didn't name hardly anything. But if that made you a little bit uncomfortable, good. Good. Because here is the reason. The Lord reveals things only so that he can heal them. He names sin. He calls us out in order to cast those things out. Because he's all about healing. Listen to this passage from Hosea, the book of Hosea the prophet. He says, "Come, let us return to the Lord. For it is he who has torn, but he who will heal us. He who has struck down, but he who will bind our wounds." That's what the Lord does. That's what the Lord is about. See, he's not angry at you. He's angry at your sins. The very things that keep you from being you. And he can't abide by letting those things remain in your life. So if you get close to Jesus, he's going to take a good look, a hard look. And with love that sometimes looks like anger, he's going to start casting things out. He's going to push. He's going to challenge. But that is only because he wants to heal. See, he's not angry at you. In fact, just the opposite. He loves you. And he loves you so much that he doesn't just call you out in your sin, but he takes those very sins onto himself. Your sins. Like the thing you're most embarrassed about, the thing you're most ashamed of, the habit you wish you could change that you just can't. Those things, those very real things, he takes those things on himself. And then he goes to the cross. And out of love, offers his life. What an amazing exchange, friends. Thank God we have, literally, thank God. We have a Lord who loves us enough to be angry at our sins, who loves us enough to call out those sins so that we can be healed, who loves us enough to give himself to us this very night in the Eucharist. What a God. What a gift. Do you love angry Jesus? I sure hope so, because he loves you enough to save you.